They sat three in a row and watched another jogger limp by. Silo was subdued, and when he spoke, it was almost in a whisper. "So where you living these days?" he asked.
"The Orlando area," Neely said.
"What kind of work you in?"
"Real estate."
"You got a family?"
"No, just one divorce."
"You?"
"Oh, I'm sure I got lots of kids. I just don't know about them. Never married.
You making money?"
Getting by. I'm not on the Forbes list."
"I'll probably crack it next year," Silo said.
"What kind of business?" Neely asked, glancing down at Paul. "Automotive parts," Silo said.
"I stopped by Rakes this afternoon. Miss Lila and the girls are there, along with the grandkids and neighbors. House is full of folks, all sitting around just waiting for Rake to die."
"Did you see him?" Paul asked.
"No. He's somewhere in the back, with a nurse. Miss Lila said he didn't want anybody to see him in his last days. Said he's just a skeleton."
The image of Eddie Rake lying in a dark bed with a nurse nearby counting the minutes chilled the conversation for a long time. Until the day he was fired, he coached in cleats and shorts and never hesitated to demonstrate the proper blocking mechanics or the finer points of a stiff arm. Rake relished physical contact with his players, but not the slap on the back for a job well done. Rake liked a hit, and no practice session was complete until he angrily threw down his clipboard and grabbed someone by the shoulder pads. The bigger the better. In blocking drills, when things weren't going to suit him, he would crouch in a perfect three-point stance, then fire off the ball and crash into a defensive tackle, one with 40 more pounds and the full complement of pads and gear. Every Messina player had seen Rake, on a particularly bad day, throw his body at a running back and take him down with a vicious hit. He loved the violence of football and demanded it from every player. In 34 years as head coach, Rake had struck only two players off the field. The first had been a famous fistfight in the late 60s between the coach and a hothead who had quit the team and was looking for trouble, of which he found plenty with Rake. The second had been a cheap shot that landed in the face of Neely Crenshaw. It was incomprehensible that he was now a shriveled old man gasping for his last breath. "I was in the Philippines," Silo said at low volume, but his voice was coarse and carried through the clear air. "I was guarding toilets for the officers, hating every minute of it. And I never saw you play in college."
"You didn't miss much," Neely said.
"I heard later that you were great, then you got hurt."
"I had some nice games."
"He was National Player of the Week when he was a sophomore," Paul said. "Threw for 6 touchdowns against Purdue."
"It was a knee, right?" Silo asked.
"Yeah."
"How'd it happen?"
"I rolled out into the flat, saw an opening, tucked the ball and ran, didn't see a linebacker." Neely delivered the narrative as if he'd done it 1,000 times and preferred not to do it again. Silo had torn an ACL in spring football and survived it. He knew something about the knee.
"Surgery and all that?" he asked.
4 of them," Neely said.
"Ruptured all the vertical ligaments, busted the kneecap."
"So the helmet got you." "The linebacker went for the knee as Neely was stepping out of bounds," Paul said. "They showed it 12 times on television. One of the announcers had the guts to call it a cheap shot. It was A&M. What can I say?"
"Must have hurt like hell."
"It did." He was carried off in an ambulance and they wept in the streets of Messina.
"I'm sure that's true," Silo said. "But it doesn't take much to get this town upset. Rehab didn't work?"
"It was what they sadly referred to as a career-ending injury," Neely said. "Therapy made things worse. I was toast from the second I tucked the ball and ran. Should have stayed in the pocket like I'd been coached."
"Rake never told you to stay in the pocket."
"It's a different game up there, Silo."
"Yeah, they're a bunch of dumbasses. They never recruited me. I could have been great. Probably the first nose tackle to win the Heisman."
"No doubt about it," Paul said.
"Everybody knew it at Tech," Neely said. "All the players kept asking me, where's the great Silo Mooney? Why didn't we sign him?"
"What a waste," Paul said. "You'd still be in the NFL.
"Probably with the Packers," Silo said. "Making the big bucks, chicks banging on my door, the life."
"Didn't Rick want you to go to junior college?" Neely asked. Yeah, I was headed there, but they wouldn't let me finish school here. How'd you get in the army? I lied. And there was no doubt that Silo had lied to get in the army and probably lied to get out. I need a beer, he said. You guys want a beer? I'll pass, Paul said. I need to be heading home soon. What about you? A beer would be nice, Neely said. You going to stay for a while? Silo asked. Maybe. Me too. It just seems like the place to be right now.